All right. Good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this Saturday, May 18th. In studio is Kirk Aghori, the assistant professional at the Greens at Half Hollow, and Russ Owie, the winner of the Richardson Invitational. Russ, how are you doing this morning?
How are you? Good morning.
And Kirk, always a pleasure to have you in.
How are you doing?
Russ, you know, not a lot of people know who you are. I'm not looking to get all, you know, existential or anything like that, but who is Russ Owie?
Just an amateur golfer that had a good run for a couple of days. So it was a great day, played with some great players, had a lot of fun, and just happened to win the last match, which was a pretty tough one with Hal Berman.
Sorry.
But yeah, it's all right, Kirk's already on them. Now, and obviously you're talking about the Richardson Invitational.
Yes.
at Engineers. Before we get to all that, and you know, where'd you grow up? You grew up on Long Island. Where in Long Island? You probably played a bunch of sports. Why golf?
Actually, I didn't start playing golf until I was probably like 26, 27. I was a baseball player. I played in college. Grew up in Baldwin.
Uh-huh.
Went down south for school for 2 years. Transferred back up. Played at St. John's. And just looked at it. I became a police officer in the city, and it was a good way to, you know, hang out with some of the guys. I mean, I always played maybe once every 6 months growing up with my friends in high school and stuff, but never took anything serious. And
right.
Just like anybody else, got addicted by it.
Yeah, it's once the bug gets you, you're done.
Absolutely.
I didn't know if you wanted to jump in there, Kirk.
No, I'm holding back right now.
What would you like to say?
Yeah. Nothing. No. Okay, just listen to
you,
Russ.
Did you, when you were at St. John's, was Frank Darby there? Or
I believe so, yes. I was in the late 80s,
okay.
1991.
Gotcha. So you played baseball and then decided to go out with your friends, and that was the end of it. Where and when did it happen for you?
Actually, it all started with I was dating a girl at the time that lived in Port Jeff.
Right.
And I was starting to learn how to play. I didn't never take any lessons before or anything else. And she said, why don't you join the country club? And I hear the word country club. I'm like, I can't afford that. You know, I'm living in an apartment up there. And Port Jeff, I went to the country club there, found out it was reasonable for me, started playing, and just beat balls all day, because with the different hours that I work, I was able to do that, and
sure.
Took a lesson or two, and just got totally addicted by it.
Right, and it's a great little place to have up there, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, it's good secret. So I met some nice people, and just I was able to play all the time, and didn't feel like an outcast. There were a lot of people who had been there, it seemed like, for years and years, so it was good.
So that's how you became this nice punt country club guy, right?
Yes, now I am. Yes, now I'm a country club guy. Mm-hmm. Playing out of Best Beach.
All right, talk about the Richardson. Now, this is your first win, right?
Yes.
And how did you prepare for it? Was there anything particular that you did? Well, or you just kind of...
Always playing at Sea Wayne. I mean, over the winter and everything else, I used to beat balls all the time. And I kind of took a different approach and just laid off of that a little bit. Used to take a trip down with April with a bunch of buddies and play and didn't get to do that. But then once I knew Sea Wayne got damaged by Sandy, which was a great track, but like I said, the first couple of holes always seemed to beat me up no matter how good I played the rest of the round, and I was always catching up.
Right, it just didn't fit your eye.
Yeah, and I made the match play a couple times and got knocked out early, but the Engineers, I played well in the Long Island AM last year.
Right.
And I always just seemed to like it. It seems either people don't like that course because of
the greens, yeah.
Exactly, or they just, you know, they love it. And I loved it, and once I knew it was there, I guess I went in with a positive attitude thinking, you know, I could shoot a real good round here. So, and went from there.
What's the strength of your game?
Well, it was driving.
His size.
Intimidation factor. But, yeah, I heard
the fact that he wears a gun. The fact that he wears a gun.
Exactly.
Well, I heard a rumor that every putt from 10 feet in was good.
Really?
Is that true? You say, huh, it's good, right? It's good, right? Well, it's Karen Peace.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's good?
In the match play portion, I did that, yeah. I couldn't do that in the qualifying.
But, yeah, right.
You know, usually I drive the ball well. I can hit enough of the greens, but I play with Kirk Ford. Same thing is, if I'm not putting well, I could shoot a huge number because it's just same thing. But the biggest thing is that's my hobby is collecting putters, which is probably detriment.
Right.
But this year I stay with one putter. Say I'm going to ride it out until I just have that one horrendous day. And, you know, knock on wood, it hasn't happened yet. So
that's what you should do. You should just follow like in my footsteps.
That's right.
I never change equipment.
No.
I just stick with the same stuff.
And I played with Kirk years ago in an event.
Doesn't break any clubs.
That's right.
No, that's not a breakage. That was a burial.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I try to take little things from everybody I've played with now and then. I play with a lot of the pros and some of the assistant events and stuff like that. And he putted with a driver years ago.
Oh, yeah.
At Links to Charlie, I played with you.
Oh, yeah.
And I know, and all of a sudden he takes out a driver. He's like, I had a bad back. And I'm like, well, if he can do this. And I'm still, you know, three putting with a regular putter, and he's two putting and laughing. And I'm like, well, I guess it's more of a mental game at that point. So, but yeah, I felt comfortable at Engineers. My buddy caddied for me in the first match play event, and he's a real good reader of greens, and I know I wouldn't have got through the whole thing as much as he got, as much as I don't want to say that, but he really helped me coming down the stretch, and his way is just, you know, hit it here, and if I don't hit it here, I got to hear about it to the next tee box. You know, he's that precise about it, but he knows what he's doing, so.
Absolutely.
I just followed what he did, and it was a fun atmosphere, even with the guys they played.
Firefighters helping.
That's
police
right.
Officers,
civil
right?
servants all the way. Oh. Yes, that's right.
Cats and dogs.
That's right. No, for that day, we were okay, so, but.
Nice. All right, well, we're going to continue this conversation. I want to take a quick break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015 or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. In studio, Richardson Invitational winner Russ Owie and the assistant professional at the Greens of Half Hollow, Kirk Agori. Russ, this year, your first win, and obviously when you're playing, you were down early in the tournament. You know, for the average golfer who just plays casual rounds, I would say they're more subject to their emotions than someone who has a little bit of experience in tournament golf. But this is your first time sort of in the finals, in this position. What did you do to try to help manage your emotions?
I guess, like I said before, my buddy Dave Seagott, he came and caddied for me. He got there late for the final round, which made it someone to really talk to. I wasn't about to, you know, talk to the other player. He was in his own world. He had his own caddy. They had some people around there. But early in the year, I played in the City Am. And, you know, Clearview is not exactly the hardest golf course in the world. But I went out and started the season off like five over after the first six holes, after all this practice I was doing leading up to that. But, you know, someone said to me, you got to think about results, not results. You got to think about the execution of every shot.
Right.
So I kept on thinking, oh, I got to make three birdies. I got to do this. I didn't think about that. I just said, take each shot, each hole. You know, every hole's a birdie hole, and just move on from there. And once it did that, it settled things down. I made a good run to make it to the City Am. I birdied like four of the last six holes to get in, to even to get into that. But then I just took that into the Richardson, and it seemed to work out. You know, the three putting and everything else, and like everybody else did, I said, that's going to come. But as long as I hit the greens, I got a shot. So I did it from there.
Yeah, it's like when it doesn't go away sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I kept on, you know, and it was actually Andre Bublakis. He actually said that whole thing. Yeah. He heard it from an instructor, and he said, stop thinking about the number. Just think about putting the ball in the green. You know, you're hitting it in the fairway. There's no reason why you can't make birdie.
But, I mean, when you watched golf on TV, I mean, and, you know, reporters hate to hear the same answer over and over again, but you know, a cliche is a cliche for a reason.
Yeah,
and that's what, you know, I know golfers would probably maybe in some cases want to give something more, but sometimes that's what it is. It is what it is, as Tiger would say, and you have to take one shot at a time.
Cling, that's a cliche too.
Exactly.
Ding, let's ding it every time, right?
Ding it every time, right? And so you know you have to think of what your the process of it, not the end result. Exactly. Instead of the end result, you know, and so you want to worry about the target as opposed to the scorecard.
Exactly. And that's what I always used to think about in some of the other events, that I was the guy that paid their money, maybe finish right in the middle of the pack. But then when it come down to making the cut for a final, something like that, I would always miss like by a one shot, two shots, trunk slam like everybody else, and then drive home thinking, what could I have did if I only did this, if I only birdied that last hole, instead of just thinking, you know, stop throwing shots away. Just every hole is its own hole.
Right.
I didn't worry about so much about playing against the other player. That's much easier when you're playing with a guy that's a personable guy and talking to him. I mean, you run into all types and myself also, but it made things much easier to do that, you know. So I went through the whole gamut of a college player, you know, beating Pat Wilson, who made the U.S. Open. So
sure.
And then
Wilson win the City Am? That wasn't it.
I know he did the U.S. Open qualifier. Now he played really well, so that made me feel well. You know, like I said, it wasn't just a lucky day. You know, I'm playing pretty well, but then going to that, and then even Halbert, like I said, Halbert before went pretty far into the Havemeyer also.
Yes,
but I said, you know, I'm beating some established tournament guys. That's
sure.
What I said. So I said, you know, it helped my confidence level going to any tournament now. Thinking, looking around at all the pros and everything else, thinking, you know, I can, if I only wish I could hit it like him. And it made it much easier. Like they said, confidence is everything. Like you always, they use that cliche all the time.
Sure.
With them. But I just used that saying that he did from the City Am, and I took each hole the way it was, and I used that when, you know, when things got down, said, stop worrying about what you need to shoot to get to, you know, to the goal. So.
What did you know? Now, Hal Berman was actually in the finals the year before as well. He lost to Eddie Gidstein. So he is an accomplished player. What was your, sort of like your mindset going in?
Well, I actually beat Hal the year before in the Long Island Am at Engineers.
Okay.
And he got beat up. I ended up having a walkover match in the morning, thank God, because it was like almost 100 degrees. And he had to play 36 holes too. And he was gutting it out. Mm-hmm. I ended up beating him then. But I know every tournament he's contended. You know, he's never out of the hole. Like I said, he's, you know, he made putts on me, same thing, where I kept on thinking, well, I got him where I need him, and then that didn't happen.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, I took things away from him that he was never out of the hole. He never changed really his demeanor, and you never knew if he made birdie or par coming off the hole, really. So I said, if I can do that and take some things from that, it was good.
Well, I mean, it's pretty easy also, you know, if you feel self-conscious about, you know, a golf game, just think about, you know, who could wrestle a bear better.
That's right.
Well, probably you. I mean,
we had,
you know,
the heaviest. They did say we did have the heaviest. Which is everyone was laughing.
You won the weight class?
Yes, we did.
You won the weight class?
Yes, we were going to wrestle off afterwards, they said, but we couldn't deny that. So, I mean, people laugh, and we knew that ahead of time, because most of the guys, like I said, playing the same tournaments together. And
yeah, right. And yeah. It is a bit of a nice group you have there.
Yeah, they are not to, like I said, don't stand on the same side of the green, maybe mess up. Like that, the superintendents around, you know, stuff like that, it made it a fun atmosphere, because I played with him before. I said the same thing. It wasn't, you know, and for me, obviously, I can talk.
Yeah. No,
yeah,
I could talk to you for.
That's why I was laughing at the beginning.
Exactly, I know, but it made it much easier knowing that we were going to get a conversation with him, no matter what. You know,
right.
You want to see a guy play well. Like
sure,
if a guy's going to shoot a 60, at least you can see it. So
right.
You know, you want it to be yourself also, but you know, like I said, I can't take this game too serious. I didn't grow up playing it, so every day I feel like I'm learning something from other guys that have played their whole life growing up.
Sure.
So I'm not going to sit there and, you know, with my job and everything else, if I want to get upset and do that, I can go to work. I'm not going to worry about that. I mean, I know my limitations. I know what I've practiced for. Do I expect to shoot a 60? No, but I expect I can at least contend now.
Right.
But, you know, we can go from there. So
I don't know. I guess you woke up the next day. Let's put it that way. You know, here's your first tournament win. I'm sure you went out with the wife or whatever, celebrated. What's the first thing you think of when you wake up the next day?
Actually, I went to work that night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I work overnights, work midnights. And I went to work that day. I have the trophy still in the box. I showed my wife. You know, my son looked at it, and they laughed. And I was like, all right, we eat dinner and just went out. We didn't get big celebrations. But it's funny because I go to some of the tournaments now, and so many people that I didn't even realize would even think that it was a big deal to come up to me and say that.
Sure.
I was like, wow, it's actually pretty nice, because I would be the first guy, unfortunately, I'd be that guy going over to them to say, hey, congratulations, Kirk, hey, good job, good round, and I'm never on that receiving end of it. So, you know, as far as a big celebration or anything, no, that's it.
Congratulations. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, I've heard it enough times on both ends, and even at work, you know, till there was something in the news day, you know, I didn't realize, and then my buddies just... they slaughtered me.
Yeah.
But it was great because, like I said, it's still in the box. I'm never going to put it, like I said, it's, you know, I don't have my name on my bag. And there's always guys, like I played in the Havemeyer, made it there, and I played against, like, Joe Saldino, and he went 6 out of 6 holes stretch. So, I mean,
yeah.
You know, I aspired to hit the ball like that for that stretch, too. And
sure.
I said, that's fine. You know, he's played in everything, you know, done everything. I can't sit there and walk around like, yeah, I'm
and he's also played a lot of golf lately. I mean, he just came back from the Carey Cup in Ireland.
And, you know,
so,
and like I said, he's such a nice guy.
He's
a great
nice
representation
guy
for the Met section golf. But to play, you know, to play him, that's fine. You know, we laughed because I played a great round, actually, for me, to play Tim Rosenhaus to get to Joe. And we laughed because he shot, I think, 2-3 under. I shot 4 under. And for us, we were like, that was a great day. But knew that we were facing him playing great in the morning.
Right.
So, you know, but making it easier that he was a sociable guy and everything else. But, I mean, it was pretty special.
You don't mind
losing. You get humbled.
Yeah.
And you get home right away. Like, I didn't go home and say, look at me.
Right.
No. And, you know, my friend's more of goofed on me.
Yeah, right.
Stuff
of course.
Like that. So it wasn't about to shine it off. And, I mean, I'm shaking hands with George Zahringer. You know, that he won the senior event.
Sure.
And I'm looking at the guy like he played in the Masters. Like,
right.
You know, I'm a civil servant that, you know, doesn't belong to a country club. So I'm just going to take, you know, that
five minutes,
shake everyone's hand, and then go home and say, look, you know, you have a long season. You can easily just go in the tank. So,
and you don't mind losing to someone like Joe Saladino. I mean, the guy is all class.
But he's, like I said, that too, when I kept on telling people, like, you know, my buddy kept on saying my wife locked me out of my house. He was texting Joe saying that. Because even I said, look, you can smile, you can laugh. Like, he didn't even want to say, like, good shot to his caddy, because it was just a zone that I was like, well, you know, I'm not playing that bad. But
right.
Compared to that, I can go home and, you know, say, hey, I made it. So we'll go from there. So
now, so you win your first event, your first amateur event. Mm-hmm. Does this change anything for you in terms of not who you are or anything? I mean, you know, endorsement deals or anything like that. But no, but I mean, change your goals.
No, I just, you know what? The way I looked at this year is I looked in the last couple of years of how many shots total I've missed. All the big qualifiers, the Met Open, the State Open, thinking it's like maybe 5-6 shots for like 4 tournaments. So I've always been close with some of them, and I said I want to make the cut in every event. If I make the cut in every event, I'm playing plenty of golf. I use it, like I said, I usually don't play on the weekends, and I go from there. So,
how many putters do you have at home?
Probably. Now I sold some off just on purpose, so I would. But probably about 20.
It's not
a lot
weird.
Of collectibles. Oh, okay, so not too bad.
It's not weird that Kirk bought the ones that you sold.
No, I'm left-handed though.
Listen, he's a lefty like you.
Yeah, nice. I'm left-handed.
Kirk says two lefties equal a right, but that's whatever.
I usually play with two other lefties, so we have a good time with that. But you know, they even shake their heads too because I'm like, oh, it's not the leaving the latest and greatest to something like, look what I got. But that's my hobby.
Well, that's what he comes in for. He really very rarely comes into Pete's Golf Shop for you know other clubs. It's always, you know, hey, check this. I got these two putters.
And I know that they're going to do that stuff right as far as banding stuff. So I always take something to them that I'll buy off eBay or whatever. And then I'm just like, okay, make it to where I can putt badly with it.
Well, custom fit it is what you want.
Yes, and then play badly, and then it just goes on the wall. So, but this year, like I said, my buddies kept on saying, just stick with one thing. You know, you have no confidence in anything else if you keep on changing different stuff.
And what do you put him with? Purposes. What do you got?
The Daddy Long Legs, actually.
No.
You got the new one?
Yeah. If you twist that, then it's just you. Because it's like a toaster on a stick. So even I can, like
stick.
I said,
I love it.
It works great. So like I said, for now,
that's
this
not
is
their
control
promo,
and everything.
By the way.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't think you're right. No, I'm not getting any endorsements
back. Buy the new toaster on a stick.
Yeah, exactly. But like it said, you know, for me, it was a big thing with distance control and everything else on some of the parts there. But, you know, close to it worked for me. So like I said, everyone use their own thing and just
Well, it's counterbalance. That's the whole idea.
I'm just going to say, people listening, give them the specs on the Daddy Long.
A little serious.
Well, I mean, just data, just for a fact.
Well, what it does is
right now everybody's googling Daddy Long Legs. They have no idea what they're talking.
Look at that. I mean, you know, it's something that TaylorMade came out with. They feel like it's a revolution. It's something we've been doing for years.
Right.
All it is counterbalancing the grip end, so that what you do is if you actually want to leave a few inches, that actually helps a little bit. But they just have a heavier grip.
Right.
Well, what we're able to do is we're able to adjust the weight of the counterbalancing in the butt section.
Okay.
So that you're not just left with just one weight. You can actually change it based on the player and their mechanics.
This is like it seems to be like a little bit of a, I don't want to say a fad right now. Maybe it's an industry fad, if you will. Talk about what the counterbalancing in the grip does for the putter.
Well, what it does is it adds weight into the putter without adding it all into the head.
Okay.
So instead, you know, traditionally what companies do is they just make the head heavier. But now,
like the heavy putter.
No, actually, the heavy putter is all over heavy.
Oh,
it's just heavy. It's actually pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
It's just excessively heavy.
Okay.
And the head design's not, you know, maybe my favorite.
Right. Okay.
But no, that's actually what you want to do. You want to make the entire putter heavy so that the entire balance of the putter is more in the center.
Okay.
Instead of having it all in the head and nothing in your hands. And all of a sudden, I'm talking really fast like Rusty, so I've just got to slow down a little bit and just kind of breathe.
That's why I'm glad. I didn't tell my wife. She would just be the first one to say, that was great. You spoke so fast.
So it does work for someone who doesn't have a steady hands, someone who's looking for just more weight in their hands to steady out their hand path. It does really – it feels great. I really recommend it for people.
Russ, what events are you plan on playing on in the summer?
Full schedule, I guess. The Havemeyer's ended. Obviously, I did the U.S. Open qualifier. I did horrendously that day.
It was tough. Were you afternoon or morning?
I was actually in the morning.
Okay.
But, you know, I played with two good players. You know, they were close around the cut line.
Who did you play with?
Craig Brewer out of Southwood Ho.
Yes.
Really nice guy. And Adam Fuchs, who's won a lot of stuff.
Yes.
You know,
Craig
Brewer
is a good friend of mine, actually.
Yeah, actually.
I didn't know you played with him. I didn't see his pairing.
Yeah, so he had a good time with him.
Super guy.
And then, you know, just hit it all over the map. So I just, you know, I knew eventually, like I said, my friends kept on saying, well, the dream is over. And I, you know, at least that day. And you know what? And I knew that too. Like
and
I said, going in
the road
that,
to Marion is over.
Yeah, exactly. So I came home. My wife's like, what happened? You know, because every day we were goofing with them with the Ritz and that I would have to call up. And I got one day off. I'd take off from work because I wanted to sleep the night before and play. My wife thinks I'm coming home just to do whatever. And I'm like, no, I'm actually still in this. You know, usually I get maybe one phone call. But every day I'm like, no, I'm still in it. I have to play tomorrow. So, you know, once I got home, she's like, you didn't make it. I'm like, you, yeah, yeah, that's okay. So, I mean, I got the City Am coming up next weekend and the finals of that. And then
City Am is
Laterette
again, right?
And then the Lawn Open. So I was lucky enough to get an exemption in that because I know the qualifier was actually a tough day out the red. They had it playing real tough with the wind and, you know, the weather. Same thing. So I'm playing in Fresh Meadows. I never played there before. So
beautiful place.
Yeah, so hopefully.
Matt Dobbins' place, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't
PGA
know.
Champion.
Like I said, maybe they give us a practice round and see it before the first day, but otherwise everyone said it's a
I know somebody you could talk to.
Well, I know. I played with Matt years ago, but I doubt he knows. So, but if it's you, okay. we'll see what happens. But,
right.
Scary, like you play, you know, you're talking about, you bring up Craig Brewer, right?
Yep.
And here he is. He's a club champion 2 years in a row at Southwood Ho. And you see what a solid player he is. And then you see what other people are shooting. It's scary how good these guys are.
Oh, exactly.
And we're not talking about, I mean, the professionals or you know, are on a whole nother level. But, I mean, it's scary how good some of these guys are.
Yeah, I think that's what helps some of us anyway, is that you go into it that mind frame of, like, I have no illusions of me taking this and saying, oh, I'm playing on the senior tour. That's, you know,
right.
It's something, you know, and your friends say that, but they don't, guys that don't really play competitive golf, they don't know how good these guys really are. And for somebody to say that, I'm just like, look, I'm happy where I am now. I like to compete. You meet a bunch of guys. You get to, you know, play different courses. That's why, like with Craig, same thing. Right away, I knew from other guys in the section, they already called me and said, look, you have a great pairing.
Yeah.
And and the biggest thing for me is, like I say, if the guy's a personable guy and I can learn some stuff and have a little fun with him without taking it so serious like he's Tiger Woods, you know, I'm going to have a better day. So I don't mind shooting a bad score if I know it said, hey, you know what? I'll play with that guy again.
Exactly.
On a social level.
You can't get a much better pair. I mean, I don't know Fuchs much at all, but I mean, you can't get a more comfortable pairing than Craig.
And same thing is, like I said, you know, he's won. You know, like I said, now he's moving on to, like I said, a lot of these guys, the college guys that, you know, they're able to play and then they try, you know, tour stuff, but then they got to get a real job. I mean, they got to practice. I mean, our practice schedule compared to some of the other guys are limited. So it was nice playing with them, seeing, and for Craig, I mean, I think he said he had five kids or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. And when he told me that, I was like, well, you know, I can't really complain. I have two young boys, but how much practice is he really doing?
So, yeah, exactly.
You can see what kind of game
he can get up and down out of a garbage can, that guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, and scary.
Yeah. And it was, like I said, the same thing.
Did you find my putter?
What's that?
Did you find my putter?
That's right. You did tell me a story about that with the garbage can. But no, we didn't go buy that one. Yes. But no, I would have probably put it on eBay after that. So
it was gone.
I'm sure it was. If I never hit the ground. But so like I said, the LIGA event, same thing. Even the officials, it was great. So, but it was a good group of guys. Like I said, everyone kind of knows each other. We know who to gravitate toward to at least make it a fun day regardless.
I know a good friend of mine, he always said, you know what, you know, you're in the section, being a professional, even a good amateur, when you get done and you get done playing and people talk about you, you know what, you want to hear the, hey, you know what, he's a good dude.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you do want to hear, I know you got some good players, but you want to hear the, hey, you know what, hey, that guy was, you know, courteous, or, you know, he's funny or whatever it is. But
right,
it's, I think it goes a long way, because then when you play in another event, they see you in a pairing or they talk about, you know, it's something that's important.
Oh, exactly. And that was a big thing. Like, I want to walk away from it and it's like, okay, I know my quirks. Like, I might talk a lot, but I don't want to be that guy.
Right, exactly. So. Well, I want to continue with that. Actually, I think you bring up a good point, but we're going to take a short break and we'll come back and we'll finish things up with Russ Alwey, the Richardson Invitational winner, and Kirk Agori, the assistant professional at the Greens of Half Hollow. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing, building, landscape firm serving Long Island for over two decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
ABC 123 Golf. ABC 123 Golf is a summer program developed by Mike Wade, PGA. ABC 123 Golf offers instruction, practice, and play activities designed to give juniors the necessary knowledge and experience to become lifelong golfers. Improving the playing ability of the junior golfer is our primary objective. In addition, ABC 123 Golf stresses the concept of total youth development throughout the program. Please visit abc123golf.net or call us at 516-385-9294. That's 516-385-9294.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf in Oakdale presents Mega Demo Day on Monday, June 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Timber Point Golf Course. You'll have the opportunity to hit new clubs for 2011. TaylorMade, Ping, Titleist, Cobra, Mizuno, Callaway, and Nike. Make sure you get down here for your chance to win a brand new TaylorMade R11 driver. Whether you play golf or you're just learning, how about getting fit for clubs by their professional and certified staff? Also, a PGA trade-in value for used clubs to be applied for new products, so bring those old clubs down. South Shore Golf also specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia, here with Russ Alley, the Richardson Invitational winner, and Kirk Agori, the assistant professional at the Greens at Half Hollow. You know, you talk about that, you know, why we play the game, and you guys brought up a good point about the LIGA and the Met PGA, if you will, and that kind of circuit that you're on. How much of it is it the camaraderie of the group?
I think it means a lot. I mean, you already look at the pairings. I mean, you practice and you like the venue. You're excited about that. But then when you play with two guys that you know, or one guy that's a really good guy or a good player, you get kind of a sense of, I guess, calmness that you don't have to worry about fitting in with the guys and doing what they're doing. And
right.
Especially for me, it's not like we're playing for a paycheck. You want to make the next round. You want to keep playing, and the little pats on the back, that's all you're really getting.
Right.
Like, every one of my friends are like, oh, what'd you win? What'd you get? Did you get money? I'm like, no. I got, you know, my chops busted by my friends, and I got a nice trophy, and, you know, I get some exemptions, but other than that, they're just like, all right, now you just
did
one
you move
of us.
Up in the, are you the king of the castle there in home?
No.
You didn't get that?
No, you know why? Because I've played up so much more golf because I've actually played well.
Right.
Usually it's like, oh, don't worry, he's only good for a day. Now I'm just like, even for the Havmar, I'm like, I have to play again. You know, I'm actually doing okay, and then, you know.
It's nice to have that support.
Right back down to earth in the U.S. Open, you know, stuff like that. So it was great. So, like I said, the sport, like she supports me with that, and like I said, my job gives me the opportunity to play during the week, and I could do anything I want on the weekends with the kids. And if I play on the weekends, it's got to be something, mm-hmm. you know, important or real, you know, real good, like next weekend with the City Am and stuff like that, but.
I love that your wife just plans for you to be gone for a day.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. That's like great. She knows how much, and she was very excited for me and everything else, but I even told her going in, because I wasn't playing very well after the City Am. I said, look, I like the course. I expect to make the match play. I play well there. But then after that, I said, everything's great. I get to play another round. And that's the way I looked at it. I didn't go in beating myself up and saying, oh, I should win. You know, some guys have that mindset of talking like that. I don't.
Right.
I said, I know, like you said, that's what he's playing each shot. I'm not going to say, well, there's no reason why I can't win. I guess maybe that's the wrong approach. But it hasn't changed anything by winning, that's for sure.
I think that happens sometimes when you're really playing well, you feel really confident about your game. Sometimes you go in there expecting too much, and actually you kind of tighten up if it's not going your way. And I know that through my own experiences, I've had my best tournaments where I'm actually not going in playing too well. And so what you do is you play smart. You know, you play your shots that you're comfortable with, and you don't even think about the end result. You're just plodding your way along.
Right.
And by the time you're done, you go, oh, you know what? That was actually pretty good.
Right.
And you find yourself like, oh, wow, that was the best you played, because you're not really thinking so much. You're just playing shots, going through, you know, the things, a lot of things, a lot of cliches.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But they really do work.
And I think that's the mental game of golf, because you can't, you know, you have to be playing almost poorly to get to that point. But when you're playing well, you can't keep yourself from wanting to do more.
I think that's what I got wrong. True. I thought it was you have to be mental to play golf.
Right.
I mean, that's my problem.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Exactly. But I mean, you know, once you start getting that confidence that you're talking about, mm-hmm. and that, you know, another cliche, now you're saying it's hard to manage your expectations as your confidence rises.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
you know, like I said, I have a couple of good guys that I work with that are pretty good players, and if I go out there with them and they beat me by a shot or just the opposite, I'm going to hear about it. Mm-hmm. So it's almost more pressure playing with them,
mm-hmm.
knowing then going to a tournament where my expectations, where I look around and some of these invitationals I've been lucky enough to get invited to, I look around and I see these players that have won on national levels and regular levels. And I said, hey, if I'm here, you know, I don't stink. But,
right.
you know, like I said, if I can keep up with them, I'm doing fine. And then and just look at it that way and have a good day because we're playing some great tracks. So, I mean, the LIGA really set up a good schedule. And the MGA, same thing, it's second to none.
Yeah, definitely.
So, well, Russ, you don't have to worry about having Russ and the word stink. You don't have to connect them anymore, okay? You can disassociate yourself.
I'll just
there.
Be, like I said, just keep going what I'm doing.
Slightly stinky.
That's it, slightly stinky. Because at one point, I can just easily fall on my face again. So, I'm, like I said, it's, that trophy's still in the closet. And that's where it'll stay. And like I said, it's great. I could show my kids, you know, when they grow up and just say, Dad wasn't that bad.
That's pretty
I
cool.
Could,
huh?
I could play then and go from there. You know, I'm not one to, you know, put on a license plate or something. So that's it. But I, because I heard about it.
Invitation.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what that's Dave was doing.
I am the man.
And then, like I said, the Havemeyer, I played with two real good players. And the first seven holes was like I never, I didn't really hit a ball since the end of the Richardson. And the first seven holes, I was like, I am playing, this is embarrassing. Like,
right.
And then Dave kept on saying that, this is the Richardson Invitational. I'm like, enough, I got it. I am beating myself up. I don't need anybody else. Like, oh my God, that's really the guy that won? Like, you know. But yeah, so I'm like, yeah, I know. But, you know, it's, either way, like I said, baby steps. So just have a, you know, make fun, have fun with it.
Well, Russ, I can't thank you enough for being in there.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
I mean, really, really appreciate it. It's nice to see a regular guy, you know, yeah. cop come, you know, who has a passion for the game of golf and yeah. is able to experience something that not everybody gets to experience, and that's win a major, you know, amateur event, which is, you know, a major, you know,
exactly.
relatively to Long Island, but still, it's the Richardson yeah. is not, you know, you talk about the Saladinos of the world and
Joe Zaring, you know, I look Zaring, at some of the names, Eddie Gibstein, you know, list, some heavy duty players,
and yeah, I'm not, like, yeah, I'm not trying to overhype it, but it's still a pretty big win, and,
oh,
that's,
yeah.
and that's nice.
Well, I feel like I said, I didn't realize to look at some of the names on the trophy there. I said, wow, these are some real established guys that have played, you know, been in the section for 20 years that have played. When I talked to Mr. Zaring, he won it four times.
Right.
Beside everything else. So, you know, you still got to compete that. I had a good week there, but he's done it four times.
Right.
So.
Well, thanks again for coming in. Kirk, always a pleasure to have you in.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys' time. That's it for this week. Thank you for joining us and giving us the pleasure of your company. Enjoy the weekend, folks. Hopefully you'll get to tee it up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.